This is Sheila Hamill and Andrew Ridgwick with New Day Dawning. Welcome to the programme and thank you for joining us on Prince Bishop's Hospital Radio.
I'm getting ready for a new day dawning. I'm getting ready for a brand new morning. Packing my bags for a heavenly journey. I can't wait to be there. No, I can't wait to be there.
I'm going to open our programme with what many people say is one of today's favourite songs of worship, a song called Oceans, brought to us by Hillsong United. Part of this song is a prayer which says, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters wherever you would call me. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander, and my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Saviour.
You call me out upon the waters, the great unknown, where feet may fail. And there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand.
Jesus never said our walk with him would be easy or straightforward. Discipleship is a process of learning, so we often get things wrong. Just like some disciples in our reading this morning from the Gospel, taken from Luke chapter 9, beginning to read at 51. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem, and he sent messengers on ahead, who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples James and John saw this, they asked, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven to destroy them? But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then he and his disciples went on to another village. Here's a lovely hymn called Jesus, Draw Me Ever Nearer, sung here by Kristen Getty.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. You have called me to this path, and I'll follow though I'm worn. May this journey bring a blessing. May I rise on a wave. keep my spirit stayed and sure when the midnight meets the morning. Let me love you even more. May this journey bring a blessing. May I rise on wings of faith, and at the end of my heart's testing, with your likeness, let me
Jesus had his mind set on reaching Jerusalem. Therefore, he had chosen to send messengers on ahead of himself and his disciples. Now, most Jews in those days would have avoided this route because of a centuries-old dispute between Jews and Samaritans. Naturally, the Samaritans gave him no welcome, and James and John called for retaliation. But Jesus simply chose a different route. He had no time for disputes, but he did rebuke those two disciples. I wonder what he actually said to them. I imagine him saying, "Do you ever listen to what I teach you? Grow up, look, listen, and learn." I also wonder what Jesus would say about some of the crazy disputes we have in our world today. So next we have a song by John Bell from the album Spirit and Song called "Will You Come and Follow Me If I But Call Your Name?"
Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown?
Two disciples had taken offence at the Samaritans' indifference and lack of respect. But how do we react when we're slighted or offended? Do we shrug it off and get on with life? Are we forgiving? Do we try to see what's going on in a person's mind so to understand them better and why it is they react as they do? Or do we, like the disciples in our story, shift into top gear and get our own back? There's a story of a lady travelling on a train into the city to do some shopping, and she fell asleep. On waking, she checked her purse and discovered that her two £20 notes were missing. There was a frail, elderly lady sitting opposite, in the middle of a nap too, with her handbag on her lap. The first lady suspected that this lady might have stolen her money, so she decided to take immediate action to investigate the contents of her purse, which you could actually see in the other lady's handbag, which was slightly open. Sure enough, she found her two £20 notes in the purse. So she took them out and pocketed them. She decided against waking this thief, and feeling justified, got off the train just as it pulled into her station. When she later returned that evening, her husband met her on the railway platform, and he asked her how she'd managed to shop without taking any money with her. And he pointed out that lying on the table at home were her two £20 notes. We don't always think before we speak or act, do we, if we're honest? But God knows our hearts. He knows us better than we know ourselves. So says our next hymn, inspired by Psalm 139. It's called Search Me, O God.
Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. You know me well. You see inside my thoughts. You know my every move and all my ways. Before I speak, I will say, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way.
As Jesus and his disciples continued their journey to the next village, he met with three different types of would-be disciples. Let's continue with that same gospel reading, taking it up again from verse 57 of the same chapter, chapter 9. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But he replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plough and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Our next song, "I Will Follow Him," is bound to remind you of the film Sister Act. The song from that film was the inspiration for this particular version, performed by Anna Ruckner and the choir of the Mercy Sisters from St. Vinko Palski.
Thank you.
I just love the change of tempo in that song, don't you? Anyway, back to our story here. The first would-be follower had this to say to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." He sounds very willing, but Jesus' reply was a strange one. "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Was Jesus saying that commitment to him might well prove to be uncomfortable and challenging? And for many people around the world today, this is exactly what such a decision is for them. In comparison, has the church in the West simply become some fashionable club where we pay our weekly dues? And has it made membership all too easy? This was the very question asked some years ago by a man called Peter Maiden, who was ecumenical canon of Carlisle Cathedral and director of Operation Mobilisation at the same time. In the newspaper article he wrote, he went on to say that for some, the church has become a club that many people want to be part of on their own terms, involved in, if and when they choose. He added, "The founder of Christianity, however, presented the challenge of following him in a very different way. He said to his disciples, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it.'" That's from Matthew 16:24. The decision to follow Jesus then should make all the difference in the world to our lives. Here's Leanne Albrecht singing a modern version of the traditional song, "Take My Life." It was Jesus himself who approached the second man on the road. Perhaps he'd been chatting to him as they journeyed, and Jesus recognised his potential. "Follow me," Jesus said to him. But the man replied, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." Jesus' reply, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God," seems a little heartless. But more than likely, the man's father had still been alive at the time, and this was just an excuse to put off his decision. On our Christian journey through life, we face crucial choices, and if we put them off, for whatever reason, great opportunities can be lost. No, we're called to obedience. The third man, however, challenges whether God is really top priority in our lives, the real focus of our hearts. He offers his services to Jesus, saying, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. This seems a reasonable request, and Jesus doesn't dismiss him outright, but has this advice for anyone who would follow him. No one who puts his hand to the plough and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, you may have heard this next story before, but it's worth retelling. A young man was once learning how to plough a straight furrow, but no matter how hard he tried, he could not keep the furrow straight. After an hour, the furrows were taking on the shape of the letter S, stretching right across the field. So he sought the advice of a more mature and experienced old farmer, who advised him, "Keep your eye on an object in the far distance, and just keep heading for it." By the end of the day, the furrows were even more zigzag than they'd been before. Once more he sought the old farmer's advice, explaining the furrows were worse than before. "Well, what did you set your eyes on?" said the farmer. "A cow grazing in yonder meadow," replied the young man. I was just saying this very same thing to my 4-year-old grandson this morning when he was having a race. I would say to him, "Jack, don't look back. Keep your eyes forward. Keep your focus." And that's just what is being said here. Jesus is the solid object, the focus, the rock we must aim to fix our eyes on, cling to and build upon if we're to keep on track and serve him in the world as one body. There's a saying, "Behind us is infinite power. Before us is endless possibility. Around us is boundless opportunity. Why then should we fear?" Our final hymn this morning is a beautiful folk version of a hymn called "I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say." Its most appropriate verse says this: "I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, thy morn shall rise and all thy day be bright. I looked to Jesus, and I found in him my star, my sun, and in that light of life I'll walk till travelling days are done." Our time is up now, but first, Andrew, my technician, I would like to say goodbye to you. Andrew.
Bye, everyone.
And bye from me, Sheila Hamill. Have a good week, everyone, and every blessing to you all as we listen to our final hymn, Michael Lining singing, "I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say."
I heard the voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me and rest. Lay down, O weary one, lay down your hand upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, so weary, worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. I heard the voice of Jesus say, Behold, I freely give the living water, thirsty one, stoop down and drink and live. I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in him. I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, your morn shall rise, and all your day be bright. I looked to Jesus and I found in him my star, my sun. And
and in that light of life I'll walk till traveling.